The Nauri follow Scythian customs, but one generation before the advent of Darius' army, they happened to be driven from their country by snakes, for their land produced great numbers of these, and still more came down on them from out of the desolation on the north. It may be that these people are wizards, for the Scythians and the Greeks settled in Scythia say that once a year, every one of the Nauri becomes a wolf for a few days and changes back again to his former shape. Those who tell this tale do not convince me, but they tell it nonetheless and swear to its truth. Men who are afflicted with lycanthropy go out at night and imitate wolves in every way, spending time until daybreak among the gravestones. You will recognize that someone is suffering from this by the following symptoms. They appear pale and look weak. They have dry eyes and cannot cry. You may observe that their eyes are hollow and their tongue is especially dry. They cannot really produce saliva. They are thus thirsty, and in addition, they have wounded shins from scraping the ground frequently. These are the symptoms. For treatment, it is important to recognize that this is a type of melancholy which you may treat at the time of the disease is noticed by cutting open the veins and draining blood until the patient almost passes out. Let him be washed in a sweet bath. After rubbing him down with milk whey for 3 days, apply a pumpkin salve to him on the second and third day. Following these cleansings, anoint him with the antidote for viper venom and do the rest of the things prescribed for melancholy. When the disease has already come over those who are accustomed to sleepwalking, anoint them with lotion and rub opium on their ears and nostrils when they are ready to sleep. This video. A true discourse declaring the damnable life and death of one Stub Peter, a most wicked sorcerer who, in the likeness of a wolf, committed many murders, continuing this devilish practice 25 years, killing and devouring men, women, and children. Who for the same fact was taken and executed the 31st of October last in the town of Bedburg, near the city of Cologne in Germany. Truly translated out of the High Dutch, according to the copy printed in Cologne, brought over to England by George Bors, the 11th day of this present month of June, 1590, who did both see and hear the same. In the towns of Serolt and Bedburg, near into Cologne in High Germany, there was continually brought up and nourished one Stub Peter, who from his youth was greatly inclined to evil and the practicing of wicked arts, even from 12 years of age until 20, and so forwards, till his dying days. The devil saw him as a fit instrument to perform mischief, as a wicked fiend pleased with the desire of wrong and destruction, gave unto him a girdle, which, being put about him, he was straight transformed into the likeness of a greedy, devouring wolf, strong and mighty, with eyes great and large, which in the night sparkled like unto brands of fire, a mouth great and wide, with most sharp and cruel teeth, a huge body and mighty paws, and no sooner should he put off the same girdle, but presently he should appear in his former shape, according to the proportion of a man, as if he had never been changed. He proceeded to the execution of sundry most heinous and vile murders, for if any person displeased him, he would thirst for revenge, and no sooner should they or any of theirs walk abroad in the fields or about the city, but in the shape of a wolf he would present and counter them, and never rest till he had plucked out their throats and teared their joints asunder. He would walk night and day in the fields and work extreme cruelties. and other times he would go through the streets of Cologne, Bedbur, in comely habit, and very civilly, as one known to the inhabitants thereabout, and oftentimes he saluted those whose friends and children he had butchered, though nothing suspected for the same. Thus, continuing his devilish and damnable deeds, within the compass of a few years, he had murdered 13 young children, and 2 goodly young women, big with child. Moreover, he used many times to kill lambs and kids, and such like beasts, feeding on the same, as if he had been a natural wolf indeed, so that all men mistrusted nothing less than this his devilish sorcery. While the young man went on forward, incontinent in the shape and likeness of a wolf, he encountered his own son, and there most cruelly slew him, the most monstrous act that ever man heard of. Long time he continued this vile and villainous life, sometime in the likeness of a wolf, sometime in the habit of a man, sometime in the towns and cities, and sometimes in the woods and thickets to them adjoining. And although they had practiced all the means that men could devise to take this ravenous beast, yet until the Lord had determined his fall, they could not in any way prevail. In the end it pleased God, as they were in readiness, and provided to meet with him, that they should spy him in his wolvish likeness. At that time they beset him round about, and set their dogs upon him, being hardly pursued at the heels. Presently he slipped his girdle from about him, whereby the shape of a wolf clean avoided, and he appeared presently in his true shape and likeness, having in his hand a staff as one walking through the city. For as much as they knew him to be an ancient dweller in the town, they came unto him, and talking with him, they brought him by communication home to his own house, and finding him to be the man indeed, and no fantastical motion, they had him incontinent before the magistrates to be examined. Thus being apprehended, he was shortly after put to the rack in the town of Bedbur, but fearing for the torture, he voluntarily confessed his whole life, and made known the villainies that he had committed for the space of 25 years. Thus, gentle reader, have I set down the true discourse of this wicked man, Stub Peter, which I desire to be a warning to all sorcerers and witches, which unlawfully follow their own devilish imagination to the utter ruin and destruction of their souls eternally. Marie Pounet, legitimate daughter to Antoine Pounet, weaver of the late Jean Passant, in the year 1765, and the 11th day of March, she was devoured at the place of Malavite, parish of Fontaine, and at the front door of her paternal house at 3 hours after midday, by a ferocious anthropophagus, or animal whose name and species have so far been unknown, and which has devoured many people in the country of Gévaudan and Vivarais since June of the year last, 1764. It even is said that this ferocious animal exerts its cruelty on small children, girls, or slightly older women, preferably to vigorous men, as it probably considers the men better able to defend themselves and resist them. The Bishop of Mende, filled with zeal and charity for these diocesans, ordered in January of the present year, 1765, public prayers throughout his diocese to obtain from the mercy of God the deliverance of this scourge. The king, full of compassion for his subjects, promised a £6,000 gratuity to him or those who managed to kill the animal. The States General of the province of Languedoc, standing in the city of Montpellier, Archbishop of Narbonne, presiding there, also granted the sum of £2,000, and the two countries of Gévaudan and Vivarais jointly awarded the sum of £400, making the three a sum of £8,400 to animate the courage of those who will succeed in destroying the ferocious animal and deliver us from it, since it continues to destroy the human race. Marie Pounet, having been gnawed on both thighs, her abdomen pierced, and the face pierced by the teeth of this cruel animal, was buried in the Fontaine Cemetery the next day. Mr. H, a 20-year-old single, unemployed white male from Appalachia, was admitted with a history of long and chronic drug abuse. His present sickness came on while in the United States Army 10 months previously, and felt himself slowly turning into a werewolf, seeing fur growing on his hands and feeling it grow on his face. He experienced a sudden uncontrollable urge to chase and devour live rabbits. He also felt that he had obtained horrible insight into the devil's world. After having been in this condition for 2 days, he rejoined his army post, but remained convinced that he was a werewolf. Looking for clues, he believed the mess hall sign "feeding time" proved that other people knew he was a wolf. He was sent to a psychiatrist who treated him with chlorpromazine for a few months. During the next few months, the patient quit all drugs, but continued to be preoccupied by the werewolf transformation. He felt worse after he saw the movie The Exorcist 2 weeks prior to admission. The MMPI was interpreted as compatible with an acute schizophrenic or toxic psychosis characterized by anxiety, obsessional thinking, agitation, and religious delusions. The patient was treated and showed gradual improvement. At the time of his discharge, 32 days after admission, he had dropped the belief that he was a werewolf or that he was possessed and displayed no other overt psychotic determinants. No further contact was established with this patient, and it was thought by the staff that he perhaps felt threatened by the clinic. Attempts to call him for further visits failed.